And welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. Once again, I am Nick Tom, sitting in for Al Cresta. The long-awaited release of the film The Stoning of Soraya M. Will take place this Friday in limited release. The film will be out in theaters across the country. Again, in limited release, but hopefully as the movie succeeds, it will be released in many more theaters. The film is based on real events. It's adapted from the book by the same name by French-Iranian journalist Fridouin Shebjam, played by Jim Caviezel. In the aftermath of the Iranian Revolution, a husband grows tired of his young wife, who has borne him two sons and two daughters. Under Islamic law, a man may have up to four wives, but he's also obligated to care and provide for each one of them. Interested in a potential child bride and unable to afford the added expense of a second wife, the husband maneuvers his wife into tending house for a recent widower. Then he falsely accuses her of infidelity. After blackmailing the other male villagers, including the mullah, the town's religious leader, into colluding in his lie. And you'll have to see the film to get the rest of the story. But joining me right now is Jim Caviezel. He starred in The Thin Red Line, Frequency, The Count of Monte Cristo, Bobby Jones, Stroke of Genius, Deja Vu, and of course, playing the role of Christ in The Passion of the Christ. And Jim, great pleasure to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick.
Tell me what first drew you to the script and how this film got off the ground in the first place.
Well, it was a story that really troubled me after reading it, because it recurs so often in history, and that power can be a dangerous weapon. In this story, the power comes from an abuse or misuse of religion. I would doubt that there are any devout Muslims who would support the actions that are depicted in this movie. Nevertheless, the wrong person had the power and created a momentum that no one was willing to or able to stop. We have had it happen in our country with witch trials, whether they were religious or political, over the years. This one is particularly troublesome because the wrong and the violence are directed at one helpless woman. I was the producer of The Passion of the Christ. They had an actor originally that was supposed to be in the film. He fell out. Steve McAvity called me and said, "Look, I've got 24 hours. If you want to do this movie, you need to decide quickly." And I read it and knew that there was going to be heavy, heavy controversy in this movie, because
right.
It's something that is going on right now. Obviously, you can just turn your TV on. You can watch people get gunned down in the street. Early on, we were questioned whether or not these stonings still exist. And, you know, you need to go any further than plug in YouTube and put in stonings, and you can watch people get stoned to death. And it's quite frightening. And as hard as it is to watch, remember that for the victims, it's a lot harder.
Yeah. Well, talk about your... with only 24 hours, I can't even imagine trying to make this decision, because you know as well as anyone that people who have produced and been involved in films that are critical of Islam have died.
Well, that's absolutely true, but in this film, it is not critical of Islam. It's critical of bullies, of evil, it's an empowering film. Just in the same way, William Wallace was very empowering to the Scots and to other people that were, you know, saw the need that, you know, at some point when the people have to be willing to risk their names and maybe even their very lives to stand for the truth. So to any Islam or Muslim to watch this is to say, you know, that you watch it every day on TV. Their boats were taken away from them.
Yeah.
And they're willing right now, even in peaceful marches, you saw that girl get gunned down. And in the street, and indifference is a big thing right now. You know, I tell general American people that I've worked with, I said, we benefit that we have a million-man army that volunteers to sacrifice.
Yeah.
What if we didn't? Then where would we be? If everyone takes the philosophy of, you know, I like my head in the sand like an ostrich, where are we going to be? And that's when bullies prevail. So in no way is this a particular attack on Islam or Muslims. They came from where they came from and what they believe in. If you are a Christian and you believe that your way is the right way, well, I'll tell you this much, it's how you live your life.
Yeah.
And how calm you are, how much peace you do bring.
Well, what has the reaction been so far from the Islamic community? I would assume it has been different in different parts of the world.
Sure. Well, the vast majority of Muslims who have attended the screenings have thanked the filmmakers for making it. One Muslim...
Is it in the United States?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. In fact, you know, the whole cast was Persian Iranians that grew up in the Muslim faith. So
right.
They were absolutely... You know, one of them in particular said to me, what do you think, why do you think that we don't want to have the same freedoms you do? Why do you think we want a tyranny? You know, I've heard everything say, well, that's their religion, that's what they do. These are dictators, bullies, that have completely silenced us, silenced our women.
Mm-hmm.
For you know, look at what they're doing out in the streets here. That's how they handle peaceful rallies. And these people are willing to die to stand for a truth. They've had it. And so we have to look at ourselves and say, my goodness, what kind of luck do we have being born in this country and having... a system that allows us to protest.
Yeah.
But they don't have that right.
Yeah. Well, this stoning...
Even in this day and age right now, in 2009, yes, and stonings do occur.
This stoning took place historically in 1986. Can you compare the portrayal of this village in the film at that time to what we know about reality today in some remote villages of countries like Iran?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean if the last week has taught us anything, it's that there's a lot we don't know.
Look,
because we're not allowed to be there.
This is under Sharia law,
mm-hmm.
which Sharia law occurs in certain countries like Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, certain countries in Africa. And basically, if someone, a man, you're a woman, and a man accuses you of a crime, okay, you would say in the Western world, you'd say, well, prove what I've done. Prove of what I'm guilty of. He doesn't have to.
Right.
In a Sharia law, you have to prove your innocence. And if they find two witnesses that bear false witness against you, you're dead.
Yeah.
And that's it. And again, go on YouTube. There are many documented cases of stonings. You can look at them on YouTube. The man who told the story, the one I played, was sentenced. He was in absentia. He was not there when he was sentenced to death, but he was sentenced to death for writing this book, The Stoning of Sarai M. That's mm-hmm. why we chose not to change the title. It was a book that many, many people read, and for this, he got a death sentence. Now, when they call a fatwa on you, of course, this is another form of death that is horrific, and you can read 2.5 years ago, one of man in Holland, a director, the impressionistic painter Van Gogh, his nephew,
right.
received a public fatwa, 12 men, after they gunned him down, pulled out their knives. Now, okay, so, you know, they say, well, these things don't happen in Tehran. When I was being interviewed, I said, have you been watching public television and watching men and women being shot to death?
So a fatwa was issued against the journalist that you play in the film?
Yes, Freyadu Saramjan received a fatwa, and 48 hours before I met him, he died. He died of a massive heart attack. You know, they do say that stress can cause a heart attack.
Yeah.
And he was very cautious in where he picked up a phone, when he could talk to us. I think the whole idea of bringing this out again and going, you can write a book, but when you see something on film, it takes it to another level. You can
Absolutely.
Read the Bible, and then when you take that Bible and put it on the movie screen, whole different controversy.
Yeah. One of the things that stuck out of me is that you are the only positively portrayed male figure in the film. Was this intentional, or was it just the circumstances of the filmmaking?
Well, I mean, there are obviously two heroes in the book. One male, and you have two females.
Right.
But often times throughout history, in this particular case, this is how it happened.
Yeah.
You know, we can say, well, it's very simplistic. How could this all happen? It's just what happened, and no different than what happened in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
How did the Third Reich pull a fast one over all these people? And it was just one little thing at a time, one little thing, and then eventually you have a dictator rule, and you have people disappearing in the middle of the night.
Right.
Much of that is going on in Iran right now. We know that through Twitter and through witnesses that are saying this is what is going on. But again, this is not an attack on Islam or any Muslims.
Right.
This is on bullies. We have them in our society. We had it back in the 60s when we had black people being lynched down by the Ku Klux Klan. You have mafia, you know, threatening people.
Yeah.
And if you expose them, they're willing to cross that line to conceal what is the truth. And who are these people, these patriots in the world that are willing to risk their lives, their names, and to stand for the truth?
Yeah. Last question for you, Jim. What do you want people to come away from this film with? Because that's one of the things that has left me in such a ponderous mood ever since I saw it, is that, you know, we see what's going on in the streets of Iran right now. Right before I walked in here to do this interview, I listened to the president speak about the situation in Iran. And even with the power of the United States government and the president of the United States, we're left a little helpless to affect a change in Iran. And so you see this film and you see the incredible injustice that is still being perpetrated. But what can I do about it? I mean, if the president and the United States, in all of their might, can't do anything,
well,
what am I supposed to do about people being stoned?
Yes, but again, this is also part of the Iranian people that, first of all, we don't know what the United States is or is not doing right now.
Sure.
This is not something that can be on television saying this is what we're doing, because in one moment, that, as you've seen in many of the interviews, they've already blaming the West for causing this to happen.
Right.
In fact, much of their issues, they continue to blame the West. They've not taken responsibility for their own. And again, this is part of the mob rule thing. And I think that the Iranian people, the Persians, especially the Persian Americans, but a lot of their family members, they know what's up, and that's why they're out there protesting. That's why they're willing to, you know, stand for the truth. Their election was hijacked.
Yeah.
But in what I hope in this film, that what I believe in my heart is that the powers in the wrong hands can be very dangerous. In this story, the power is especially disturbing to me because it comes from an abuse or misuse of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would doubt that there are any devout Muslims who would support the actions that are depicted in this movie. And I say devout. Nevertheless, the wrong person had the power and created a momentum that no one was willing
right.
or able to stop.
Yeah.
And we've had it happen in our country as well.
Right. Jim, thank you so much. Jim Caviezel, starring in The Stoning of Soraya M., released this Friday. Limited release, and hopefully we'll be in a theater near you. Thank you so much, Jim.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work. You're listening to Cresta in the Afternoon. We'll be back.